Welcome to the Ministry Focus Worship Essentials podcast. This podcast will focus on looking into biblical standards of worship and how it applies to us as the body of Christ, as well as talking about issues involving worship in today's church. I'm your host, Brian Foster. Let's talk worship. And again, welcome to another edition of the Ministry Focus Worship Essentials podcast today. So glad to be back with you folks here on the podcast. Me and my family has gone through some health issues recently, so that's the reason you didn't hear from me last week. But I think I'm on the backside of this now. My voice is still just a little bit weak, but I think I've got enough strength to make it through this podcast and hopefully a few more. But I appreciate you joining me today. And in today's podcast, we're going to be talking about how to find the presence of God in the valley. I've fielded some questions through email and through personal interactions. And some of the questions that have come to me, I decided, let's do a podcast on it, and let's, if we need to review some things or just go more in depth about something I've covered over the past few months here on the podcast, I wanted to do that. And this was one of the questions that came up to me. It's like, you know, how do you expect us to worship when things ain't going right? And I'm using country vernacular, I know, but when things are not going right for us in our lives, how do you expect us to worship God? Well, I'm going to give you some examples about that, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But first, let's open up our podcast in a word of prayer. Father, again, I thank you for your healing touch upon me. Lord, that you're still in the healing business. And Father, I just thank you for how you are working and blessing in so many ways. And Father, I just want to lift up the podcast to you right now. I pray, Father, that you would use me to help teach. Lord, to help explain some of the questions that have been posed. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us through your word and that you would help us through this podcast to learn more about you, to draw closer to you, and to understand more about what it is to worship an almighty God. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for all you have done and for all that you will continue to do. And I ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. So, I know you've heard the expression, when praises go up, heaven comes down. When we hear phrases like that, we typically picture a big crowd in a big church with many hands raised by people singing worship music. And it's true, when God's people get together to worship him, he is present among them in a special way. But it's also true that when you're all alone, in the dark, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you will also find God in the valley. And I believe God responds hastily to our praise in the valley. Now, a lot of the times, I have done this in my walk with Jesus, and I'm sure many of you who are listening have done this too, where, you know, you come into a corporate worship service with fellow believers, and everyone is fired up. Everyone is ready to get their praise on. But you, on the other hand, Satan has been working on you. Things have not been going your way. Satan's gotten into your ear and started telling you a bunch of lies. And you just don't feel like worshiping. And try as you might, there is no way that you can just bring yourself to worship. Well, I want to present a few examples of how we can still depend on the presence of God, even when we're in the valley, okay? And some of the things that the Bible teaches about how to still worship and seek God's presence when things are not going your way. One of the first examples I wanted to bring to your attention, it comes from Acts chapter 16. And in this, it's a story about Paul and Silas. And I'm gonna read you these verses, and so you can have a complete context of what was going on. But this is one of many examples that the Bible presents about when things are not going your way, You're facing troubles, you're facing tribulations, and you're facing trials, you can still praise the Lord for where you're at. Okay? And I'll explain as we move along. But if you have your Bibles, turn into Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to begin with verse 16. Okay, now, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, and they're talking about Paul and Silas here, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them unto the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Now, in verses 23 through 25, it goes on to say, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them," talking about laying stripes on Paul and Silas, "they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Now, think about this. So you did a good deed, or what you thought was a good deed, by casting a demonic spirit out of a person. And so the friends of this person, they get mad and they take you in front of the magistrate, in front of a judge, and say, "Hey, you know, they did a bad thing. We're Romans, they're Jews, and they're trying to bring their customs," which wasn't the case. Okay. If you remember, they brought false witness against Paul and Silas at this point. And so the judge says, "Okay, well, I'm going to believe these over y'all, so y'all are going to take the punishment." So not only do they get beaten for their troubles, but then they get thrown into the center of the prison, the darkest. Now, think about it. Now, in biblical times, when it says the innermost part of the prison, this is the darkest part of a prison. Okay. Absolutely no light is in there whatsoever. Maybe a torch here and there, but certainly not in this part of the prison. And plus, they were handcuffed. So here, you're sitting in total darkness. You've been beaten, so you're bleeding at this point. You're hurt, and you're handcuffed by your hands and your feet. How in the world, you're thinking to yourself, there is no way that I could get my praise on in that situation. None. But then we find out, and at verse 25, it says, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." This wasn't one of these silent prayers, silent songs. You know, they didn't hum. We call it here at our church, they sang. Okay. In other words, they got loud with their singing so that everyone could hear. How did they get up the nerve to do this? Okay. In their circumstance, the Apostle Paul and his companion were tossed in jail, and their act of kindness had ruined the business of her owners, and they were outraged. Okay. So Paul and Silas, just like I said, they were beaten and then thrown into prison. And instead of wallowing in their misery, they began to praise the Lord for their circumstance. Now, let's move on to the next few verses in verses 26 through 33. And suddenly, now keep in mind, they're singing, they're worshiping. Okay. In verse 26, it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's hands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them, talking about the jailer, the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes and was baptized, and he and all of his straightway. Now, again, let's take a look at the picture here. It's midnight. You're in jail in a strange city. Paul and Silas sang praises to God. And what happened was miraculous. An earthquake followed, freeing them and all of their other prisoners, but not one single prisoner tried to escape. They were all captivated by the message of the gospel of Paul and Silas were sharing. Now, the jailer, on the other hand, he was charged to keep them safe. Now, you have to remember, under Roman rule, if you were kept in charge of prisoners and anything happened to those prisoners, if they escaped or if you failed at your duties, then you would have received the punishment that was meant for them. So, in other words, most of these prisoners were probably going to be or had already been condemned to death. So therefore, the jailer would have been executed in their stead because he failed at his duties and allowed them to escape. So when this earthquake happened and he realized what had taken place, the first thing he thought about was, well, for sure they're all gone. So there's no reason for me to stick around. I'm just going to take my own life because I know what's going to happen to me. But then all of a sudden, out of the darkness, he hears a voice, and it was Paul saying, don't hurt yourself. We're all here. And I know the jailer had to, of course, he took out a torch at this point and began to look around the prison and saw that everyone was still there. And it must have stunned him to see not one prisoner had escaped. It dumbfounded him. I mean, you can only imagine what the thoughts crossing his mind at this point. He's thinking about taking his own life because of his failures, but yet no one escaped. So then we see what happens next. The jailer trusted Jesus that night, and the course of history for his whole family changed. You can only imagine. Now, again, remember the circumstance that Paul and Silas was in. God took that negative and turned it into a positive. Okay? Not only were they freed from their captivity, but the residual effects was that the jailer and his family came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. How much better can that get, folks? And again, think about where they were at. Now, let's bring this to modern times. Think about where you're at right now. Think about the valley that you're walking in. If God can take a circumstance like Paul and Silas faced and turned it into good, not only for them, but for those involved in this situation, what will he not be willing to do for you? Okay? If you're saved and you're his child, he's not going to leave you isolated. You may feel that way. Look, folks, I have been in valleys. Okay. personally and in ministry. So I know the hurt. I know the isolationism that I felt. So I can imagine what you may be walking through. And I had the same thoughts. What am I doing? Why am I still trying to pretend that everything's going to be all right? It's not. And there's no other way. When you get to that point where you think there's a wall there, the Lord is standing on the other side ready to bring you through the hole in the wall that you don't see. He's willing to go through that storm with you, to meet you in the valley and lead you out. Okay? Just like he did with Paul and Silas. The Lord has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. If you're saved and you're a child of God, we can rest upon that promise. Now, he didn't promise everything was going to be roses and butterflies and rainbows and our lives would be perfect. Far from it. But what he did promise is when those circumstances in life, when you walk through that valley, he will be there to lead us and guide us and help us to get through to the other side of the valley and make our way up the mountaintop. Now, if you needed a further example, you said, okay, that's New Testament. What about the Old Testament? I'm glad you asked, because as a worship leader, and as many of my fellow worship leaders that listen to this podcast would attest to, the greatest book to us, and one of the books that I rely on throughout my ministry is the Book of Psalms. It's a book it's biblical poetry, but it's also a book of songs. Okay. And we can relate to it because of the context of what was written in the Book of Psalms. The Book of Psalms is divided up. Now, there's 150 chapters within the Book of Psalms, and it's divided up into five different sections. And that's a teaching for another time. But the basic context of Psalms, King David wrote a majority of the Psalms that you see in that book. But there was other worship leaders that added on. And there was even a chapter that Moses himself wrote in the book. They took and wrote into the Book of Psalms. And so, but the basic ideal of Psalms is praise and lament. Okay. And no matter what you're going through in life, you can always find a way to praise the Lord and to ask his help through it. Now, through Psalms, we learn about the importance of prayer and the acknowledgement of pain, as well as the power of praise and fulfillment of prophecy. Now, one of my favorite chapters is Psalm 41. It's just one of many chapters that show that how while being in a valley, you can still praise the Lord in the midst of your turmoil. And I just wanted to read you the first couple of verses of Psalm 41 and then the last couple of verses to show you that comparison and that parallel between what the writer was lamenting, but then he still found a way to offer his praise for what God was walking him through. So let's start in Psalm 41 in verse 5. The Bible says, "Mine enemies speak evil of me." How many times has that happened to us in life, folks? "When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt." Probably one of the greatest valleys that you could ever walk through, among many, is when people talk bad about you. And in here, now David was the author of this particular psalm. And the words here are general and apply to anyone that might be considered down. The most painful and specific factor addressed here is the insult which is being added to the psalmist injury or misery. And so you have to think about what David was walking through at this point. People were talking bad of him. They were They were actually saying, why don't he just die? You ever said that about somebody? Not really meaning it, but they just got on your nerves to the point where you said, I just wish they would die. That's very hurtful. The tongue is the most hurtful instrument known to mankind. And words hurt. There's the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Don't believe that. Names can hurt. And whenever you're talking bad about someone, especially in this particular light, where you're speaking evil of them, can you imagine the hurt you're causing? And not only to that person, but to others that may be a part of this person's circle, people who may know this person. And you're sitting there and you're speaking evil of them, and you know word's going to get back eventually to that person. So what's it going to cause? It's going to cause hurt. It's going to cause pain. It's going to cause anger. Okay. Again, when you're in this circumstance and you feel like no one appreciates you, no one loves you, no one trusts you, and you feel isolated, do you just want to crawl under a rock? Do you want just to hide in a corner? What's the best recourse? So why should you get your praise on? Again, it's what God wants to lead you through. When you put him in the midst of the valley with you, he's going to show you the way out. He's going to help lead, guide, and direct you through this valley to get you to the other side, to make you a better person. That is, and to make your circumstance better as well. The last couple of verses of that chapter, in verses 12 and 13, talk about this. David says in verse 12, and as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before the before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Folks, when everyone else is against you, and whether you're in ministry, whether it's in your career, no matter what your walk of life is, you're going to have your enemies. You're going to have people that just don't like you. You pray for them and you ask that the Lord would deliver their hearts. But that's the only thing you can do. But when you feel like when you get to that point where everyone is against you, remember, God is for us. And that's the greatest gift that we could have. That is the greatest promise that we could have, that he would never leave us nor forsake us. When everyone else turns their back on us, he won't. Now, I know there's been times in my life where I felt like he was 100 miles away from me, but that was on me. That wasn't on him. God stayed where he was at. I was the one who moved them that 100 miles away from him. He was right there the whole time. All I had to do was do a 180 and walk back to him. And that's all you have to do. The Lord doesn't want bad to happen to anybody. He wants you to live a fulfilling life. But he also knows that humans are humans. And they are going to act accordingly. And that may mean they're going to hurt your feelings and they're going to put you in situations where you don't want to be or you don't want your family to be. So should you just roll up into a ball and disappear? Or should you just stand like David did and said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. In other words, Lord, I know I'm in this valley. And I'm hurt. You know I'm hurt. You know I'm angry. You know I don't want to be here. But I'm here, and I know that you have a purpose behind it. Lord, help me through this valley. Show me and teach me the lesson that I need to learn to help me rise above this valley that I'm in right now. And I'll guarantee you, He'll get to work and he'll show you that way. Just praise him, folks. You can sit there and you can explain any circumstance you can to me. And believe me, my heart goes out to each and every one of you for the valley that you're in. But then my answer would be to you, have you given God the praise today? Because even though you're walking through a valley, you can still praise him that you're breathing. You can still praise him that you have your family. You can still praise him that you might still have your health. There's something that you can praise him for in any circumstance. And this is a lesson I've had to learn in my life and in my ministry. Because like I said, I've been through some valleys. I didn't want to worship. I could care less about worship. But once I finally got serious and said, okay, Lord, your word says I need to do this, so I'm going to do it. And once I began to praise him in my valleys, guess what? He met with me. He comforted me. He gave me peace, and he helped me through that valley I was in. And ladies and gentlemen, he can help you through that valley too. All you got to be willing to do is just to praise him. Just take a few moments by yourself. Begin to worship him. Begin to thank him for what he has done in your life, what he continues to do, even if you're in a valley. He's there to help guide you and to comfort you in your time and to lead you out of that valley, to make you better and to make your circumstance better. Why shouldn't we be willing to praise him even when we're in the valley? So here's the point. Miracles occur when you praise God in the valley. Please don't stop praising him. Don't stop worshiping him. When you worship, especially in broken places, God shows up and manifests his presence in ways you've yet to even imagine. With that, we come to another end of our Worship Essentials podcast. And I thank you for spending a few minutes of your day here with me. Until next time, keep a song in your heart and keep Jesus in the center. So long for now.